This is down to brass tacks. There was a lady on the line before we went to the regional roundup. Yes, ma'am, you were saying.
I'm here, yes. So then I take him to the hospital and the news are putting and rattling.
Him who? Your son, right?
My grandson.
Your grandson.
Yeah. And he was improving and thing. But I used to tell him, just relax, go to school. It's something for you to set the exam and concentrate on your work. Where he did, then he had a problem with the eyes. He would come home and say, Mommy, I tell Mrs. So-and-so I cannot see the blackboard. And he understand what he would tell you, you better go and sit there and do the work. So I say, look, one is there. I can take up myself and I go into the school. And I went to the school and I asked him for a letter to take the child to see a specialist. And the principal, they gave me one and I take him. And the specialist said, one of his eyes is very bad. So then he got his glasses and everything was okay. He passed the common entrance. He went to another school. Well, then he didn't went back to the psychiatric or anything like that. But now he's okay. And thank God he is working now. So I always tell him, behave yourself, concentrate on what you are doing, and don't follow. Well,
how old is he now?
He's 20. He'll be 21 this year. But he's a very nice child, grandchild to me.
Excellent.
But I don't know behind my back what is the problem. But you know, I always tell him, be careful. And he will say, Grand, I ain't getting into trouble. So that's it.
Excellent story.
But you got to, you know, like when the children come home and tell you these things, you got to listen to the children and you got to monitor the children. And because sometimes the teacher do not pay attention. If that teacher was paying attention to him, he will not be gone that far away. He had to take the rattling. But I pray and I thank God that he's much better now.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks for listening.
And in giving a source of encouragement to parents who may be facing that kind of problem, either parents or grandparents. Okay? I think it's Ritalin is the name of the drug. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Hello. Welcome to the program. This person writes, you know, I know you all try to be fair by allowing these DLP supporters to defend this administration. But I sit here and listen to these guys and wonder if they are living in a hole with no access to life other than radio. I'm one of the 20% that you mentioned earlier this week who's neither loyal to B or D. I grew up in a household who supported DLP all my life. This would now be my third election that I'll be eligible to vote, and I will call a spade a spade. And I think these regular callers who are now retired and are seasoned in a particular way, I think that it's their generation that has stifled our generation and the generation coming up by being set in their ways and having a fear of change. No D, not even B. We are just rotating two parties who have raped this country of money, stability, and resources. The writer says we need serious change. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good afternoon. It's 10 minutes after midday.
Yes. I think that the issue with the government, this present government, is that it has not, and I'm talking about the Minister of Education and the subject that was being discussed in a great measure on your program this morning. The government has opened up several preschools, which technically were doing the same thing that primary schools were doing for years and are competing with private sector-led preschools. And what the government should have done with one of those preschools under the Maria Holder Trust initiative is that it should have recognized that it does have a serious problem with a growing number of children who are AD&D and all the associated challenges that those children have, and cater a primary school to deal with those instead of just opening up preschools to compete with private sector and overlapping primary schools by producing the same type of product. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Because there's a perfect spot up here in Church Hill where the Maria Holder School was built. In my opinion, that spot should have been given to a specialized school so that the numbers of children in our primary schools that have challenges could have been catered for in a very central spot like that one. But that's not what I really call the foreground today. You know, that's just a passing thing. I really want to compliment the principal of the University of the West Indies for seeking, and her name is Mrs. Eudine Barto, am I right?
That's correct.
I'm correct. Okay. For assisting the grandchildren of Sir Grantley Adams, who have been disadvantaged by this government and have been robbed of their dreams to continue at the university. And it would be really interesting to hear the stories of some of these abandoned young people who have had their dreams killed by the policies of this government. And, you know, I'm calling on the wider Barbados to support the initiative of the University of the West Indies and to help Mrs. Barato in her effort to send some of these disadvantaged young people back to the University of the West Indies. I also want to say to them that help is on the way. For my surveys are telling me that the Barbados Labour Party is going to win the next election by a landslide.
You know, every day that I sit down here, I hear your voice coming to say basically that the Barbados Labour Party is the party of choice.
Well, true, Mr. Ellis. Can I tell you why?
Your voice is quite. Your voice has now become quite familiar to me, and I'm sure to many of the other callers. So I put you in the category of the...
A regular caller?
The DLP. No, the DLP got their regulars, and you clearly are one of the BLP regulars now.
Yes. Mr. Ellis, we have gone from 14 years of the best to 10 years of the worst. And I was a young man in the early 1990s, and as I walk around Barbados today...
Explain.
I feel as though I'm living in the early 1990s.
How
under
so?
The Sandiford administration.
How so? Specify.
Because the same thing that was happening back then, the hardship.
What hardship?
The lack of finances, the contraction of the economy, the untold suffering of Barbadians. I'm seeing it all over again in 2018.
The contraction of the economy... There are statistics there to support that. The untold suffering of Barbadians, well, that untold suffering has always been existent. So to what do you point to say that it has increased?
We have always had, you know, every time the Democratic Labour Party comes to office.
Stats. Talk is cheap.
I give you stats. Every time the Democratic, I give you facts, not stats. Right? Because the DLP have a fax campaign. Every time the Democratic Labour Party comes to office, Barbadians suffer more. You know, it is as though some type of economic blight just takes over the country every time that the...
And where do you see this? And where do you see this?
I see it among the private sector.
Example. No. I see it, you see, my friend, I don't want just the general talk. I mean, I can support you if necessary. Once you give me information to support it, because so far what you're doing is just saying, oh, in general terms, this is what happens. Fine, but I want more than that. It is not that I'm here to defend the government. I just want you to support your position.
But what else would you want me to tell you?
Stats.
Except to give
facts
you
and stats.
As I see them on the ground. I don't
facts
have
and stats.
Facts, but I have these facts.
You are not giving me facts. You are giving me your interpretation of what has taken place. And all I'm asking you to do is, if you say, look, whenever the Democratic Labour Party comes to office, the country's economy suffers. All right, go a little further than that and make the comparison. Give me something more than that. Because otherwise, you come across as just a party hack who's just using the calling program, just, you know, I don't know if you've been programmed by the bees, like some of the Dems have been programmed, to just use the calling program to just come and spout some general rhetoric and walk away and feel that, you know, you score some points today.
Mr. Ellis, all Barbadians know that things are hard.
All Barbadians, like who? They got some Dems friends who don't answer so.
Well, listen, the members of the... Listen, I met a Democratic Labour Party contractor the other day, and he told me, look, I don't vote for the Barbados Labour Party, but whenever your party is in power, I build a lot of houses. He says, right now, my staff are laid off. I'm not building anything. Right? So there are members of the Democratic Labour Party who are also sharing this view that I'm sharing with you.
Yeah, you saw you claim, because you, right. You could have invent that man.
No, I didn't invent nobody. I told you.
You could just invent that, man.
but before I go,
don't you see? You will interpret back? You and supporters of the Labour Party would say, you know, every time people come here and attack the government, because somebody tell Sanka Praise Day yesterday. Every time you come to attack the government, you people defend the government. It is not about defending the government, you know, because if you listen carefully, you will hear that there are aspects of what the government has done that we don't necessarily support. But at the same time, we have to be responsible enough to make sure that if you come with a claim, you can support it. And it is not enough for us to just sit down here and take in your, the government is the worst government that the country has ever seen. The Democrat, the Barbados Labour Party is the best or the worst thing that ever happened to Barbados. We need more than that.
But I want to share with you before you go, five groups of people that will vote against the Democratic Labour Party in this upcoming election.
And you say so on what? You're a soothsayer?
Let me get the five before I go.
You're a soothsayer? You work for beer?
No.
On what basis?
I'm a political
analyst. You're in a BL, you know, you're a political animal. You're not
no,
a political
analyst.
You're a political animal.
No, I'm a political...
Go ahead and let me hear. On the back, I have established what I think you are. Against that backdrop, tell me these five.
The five. These are the five groups of persons who will vote against the Democratic Labour Party to remove them from office. Number one.
Say so.
The parents and the students of those who want to attend the university. That's the first group. Number two, the union leaders and their members. Number three, the civil servants. The next group is the most anxious group to get rid of the government, the private sector. And the fifth group is the undecided Dems, the disgruntled Dems, and the BLP supporters. I am predicting that the Barbados Labour Party will get the majority of the youth vote.
All right.
And they will get the majority
all
of the
All right.
Amendment.
But let me also put the alternative spin to you.
But let me ask you a question.
In this context, sure.
Do you think that the union leaders and the private sector will vote in favor of this government?
There are some who will. I can't tell you to what degree they will be in the mind. But just let me look. You have had your opportunity to say what you expect. I have to recognize that while you say that, I hear other people, some of them who call this program, some of them who don't. Like the fellow who constantly, for the past couple of days, has been writing in here talking about how glorious the Prime Minister has been and how he has opened up the eyes of Barbadians, and he's glad that Look, and the truth of the matter is that the person who writes it doesn't even say anything other than that, all right? But there are people who believe that the government was dealt a bad hand, as was some of them tell me, that the world just give me a second.
Yeah.
The world economy in 2007 and 2008 was a very harsh place to operate in. That against that backdrop, the government had a difficult time to rectify this economy. Three, that in their judgment, the government has kept the country stable, according to what the Prime Minister is now saying, which he also said prior to the last election, that they had kept the country stable. And in those circumstances, they would give the government a passing grade and they yes. would vote for the Democratic Labour Party again. And that is the other side of what you put to me.
Can I tell you why the Democratic Labour Party would be bad business in 2018?
Tell me.
Going forward into 2018, I think Barbados needs a proper prime minister. Barbados needs a prime minister to know of the likes of JMGM Adams, a microscopic thinker, a long-range visionary, somebody that can help this government. I saw somebody using the term brilliant with Mrs. Stewart the other day, and you know, I was offended. I was offended that somebody could use the term brilliant to describe the current prime minister, because he's not a brilliant prime minister, a prime minister that doesn't understand the taxation system and has never even tried to present a budget to help this country, and who has kept a fumbling Minister of Finance, one of the most disastrous in the history of this country, cannot be referred to
but
as
there's
brilliant.
Still, but there are still people, irrespective of what you may think, who believe that they're brilliant. All I'm saying to you is that there are alternative views. And the person who just wrote to me and said, the listeners would actually like to hear what the caller has to say. Keep your alternatives balanced, or whatever silliness you are obsessed with, when you have your own talk show featuring you and you alone. I want to hear what the callers think. Simple. I want to tell you, you got the wrong moderator. And this is not what I will ever be party to. This is about alternative points of view, whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, you know what to do. But that's what makes the call-in program interesting, not
that's
coming
right.
down on one side alone. And I have my own views too about the government. But yeah. whether I have them or not, I still have a responsibility to share with you alternative perspective. If you've got,
correct.
If you are so steeped in your political association that you don't want to hear anything else, well, go to party headquarters and listen.
Barbados needs a more social prime minister. You know, I was passing up on the South Coast the other day, and I was thinking in my mind that I would have loved to pass and see MP2 park in the car park at Lanterns and see the prime minister just speaking with the business people in that area. The South Coast is a place where millions of dollars in business is done, because it is traversed by both visitors and locals alike. And I would have loved, we want a prime minister that can tell his chauffeur, listen, park that vehicle there, and let me speak to Barbadians about the things that they're going through. The prime minister appears not to be comfortable with the local people.
No, he has his own style. And the question is whether his style will work for him in the next election.
Yes.
In the way it appeared to have worked for him in the last one. I don't know the answer to that. What I know what my personal view is, but my personal view is not the view of everybody else out there.
Yeah.
You know, that is left to be seen. Look, people in the United States, outside of the United States, so many people thought that Donald Trump was a waste of time. And as they look at what is happening right now inside the United States, they think that they were right. But you know what? There's a base in the United States that thinks that he's the best thing since sliced bread.
Because he's public friendly.
Well, whatever.
He's sociable, unlike the prime minister that we have. This current prime minister that we have, I don't know. I've never seen the likes of anybody like him. You know, and he is bad business going forward for Barbados.
But I have people who are Dems who call here and say otherwise. That's your view.
What do you expect them to say? What do you expect them to say?
But you're a B. I expect you to see what you're saying too.
Yeah, we expect them.
We're going to go to get ready for the Starcom Network News.
Okay? Thank you a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good. nicer themes of a series on TV, Hill Street Blues. You remember that? An official of the Ministry of Education has called us to get the contact information for the lady who called this morning with the problem with her child, saying that she's been facing a lot of difficulty getting this letter of referral for her 10-year-old son, who's been facing behavioral problems at school and most likely may be facing an issue, possibly ADHD or one of those other challenges that some of the children in the system have been having to confront them and their parents. ADHD is the attention deficit disorder. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. You are on the air at 12:46. Hello. Welcome to the program. Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm well.
I haven't spoken about education for a good while now. And I think maybe today we can try to do that. But the fact of the matter is that everything I have said on this program not too long ago, all roads lead to and through the Prime Minister of this country. And you generally find that if it is not a concern of the people at the top, then things do not happen at the bottom. Things end up getting neglected. And our educational system has been neglected for years. And, like, again, the situation with handicapped people as well. We believe almost that you put them away, you lock them up, and so they can't be seen. And then all is well, and we report on everything else. Okay, we report on the people who are doing well, who are achieving a lot, and ignore the ones that aren't. And our whole emphasis over the last few years has been about making sure people have certificates when they leave school. Having a certificate does not mean that you have an education. Having a certificate does not mean that you have understanding. And so therefore, just because you give somebody a piece of paper, that does not mean that you have given the society, the citizen, the education that's necessary for that country to develop. And we have more and more, if every year you graduate more than 60 or 70% of your populace with less and less qualification, eventually you end up with a population that has a huge amount of people who are not literate or not properly educated. We have the problem, we continually talk about the Common Entrance Exam and ignore the question as to how could a child be in an educational system, a primary school system, for 10 years and get to the point of a Common Entrance Exam and then not be able to perform at least up to a certain level at that exam. We continue to hear of too many children falling through the cracks who have
but we all know that already. No, we're rehashing what we already know. So the question, the issue here that we need to address is, what is it that we can do with the limited resources that we have now to try to address the very problem that you see staring us in the face?
See, I believe that thing of limited resources is a fallacy.
Okay, so okay. The resources that we have. Don't chase me on that. Tell me about how you think we could fix the problem.
How can we fix the problem?
Mm-hmm.
First, we have to have a prime minister who is prepared to engage in the discussion of the problem. First, we have to have a cabinet that is prepared to say, listen, what the real issues are, and then discuss them with the people. Those are the first things. Because as I said, everything flows from the top. Unless we have that in place, unless we start looking at it from that perspective, nothing is going to change. Because we continue to have people saying, oh, we need to look at this. We need to look at that.
But you're doing it right now.
We have trained thousands of teachers.
But you're doing exactly that.
What am I doing?
We need to look at it.
This is one of the reasons.
This is what it amounts to.
No, not at all. Because one of the reasons why I told you I have not been able to speak so much about education per se for such a long time is because the matter of what I've just told you, that everything floats on the top. So I recognize the fact that unless you fix what is happening at the top first, unless you get those people at the top to see and understand the importance of what has to be done, nothing changes.
The question I would ask is this. In the years that we have had the current Minister of Education, how much of a debate and a discussion have you heard about the direction of education in Barbados, addressing, you know, at different levels, because you can't forget high flyers. We've had a lot of discussion about the fact that the government asked students to pay more towards their tertiary level education or something towards their tertiary level education, the tuition fee and that sort of thing. But beyond that, where have you seen the Ministry of Education leading discussion about Barbados' needs and the weaknesses and how we were setting about to correct those weaknesses?
Well, you see, David, now you asked me that question, and I have to respond this way. The emphasis of our education minister, or the statements which he has made, which is children are demons, some children are demons. He has made, he's spoken the fact that, oh, we need to increase our population. Okay? So he wants young children to have, young girls to have more children. Okay? So therefore you ignore the realities of what is happening. Okay, the inability of your educational system to deal with these things. He's gotten up and he says, you know, we have to, and not so much quote to him, we have to find out the reason why more and more people are sending their children to private schools. Now, when you have statements being made from the people at the very top of the system, this is what you end up with. Okay, and
you spent time the other day talking about how the newspaper put a focus on the money that they are earning in this 3-month, this 90-day period. There's a time for politics, but there was a lot of time to talk about the system, how the system, and the person who has been sitting there at the helm for all this time would be expected to help lead this discussion about what they see as the strengths and the weaknesses as we look to make the country more competitive, you know, because the education component is a critical part of trying to make Barbados a better place to live and to work. Just at the break here, somebody drew my attention to the fact that Scotiabank has an ad in the paper telling the chief immigration officer that they can't find anybody suitably qualified in Barbados to be a branch manager. But that, if that is so, what's it saying about our education system?
And what's the qualifications that require?
I don't know. I really don't know.
And how
I don't know what
heard,
the qualifications are. But these are all. This is all part and parcel of. Well, they may be out on a limb somehow. I don't know, but there are other areas in Barbados where you see the call for help in this regard. Why is it that we may be failing in this regard? In some areas,
yourself,
legitimately so. Huh?
Why is there not more commentary, let's say, coming from the University of West Indies respect to these sort of things?
I'm talking about policy direction first, though, you know. Policy direction is crucial. And that's where the minister's perspective on these issues and the driving of debate on this, to what extent is this system that we have meeting our needs? And to what extent does the rest of the population have to reassess how we are thinking in trying to achieve the objectives? That's the leadership that you expect. And what we sometimes, I fear we may be having, is a dumbing down of debate in this country, because the people who are supposed to take on that leadership role have failed to do so.
See, and that is why, David, I'm responding to you in this way now, because you don't want me right now to deal with the political aspect. And I've already told you, yes, it's totally linked.
I'm not dealing so much with the political end as I am trying to deal with the broad question facing us. The political end, we have a couple of new parties that are trying to exploit the weaknesses of the established parties for a whole bunch of unknowns that we don't have a clue about, all right? They come to us and they can tell us about what they can do and most of all what they can do, but they are untried, untested, and what they do is exploit the thing. So you got the established political parties that have disappointed us, and the new ones who may be waiting to disappoint us just as much or even more.
No, but I'm trying to look at it.
That's why I try to avoid that.
I'm trying to look at it from the intellectual end. Okay, and asking the question, why are the intellectuals in Barbados who have the training, who have the understanding, not trying to encourage
Why do you think this is so?
Because it keeps... there's certain people for whom the status quo benefits them, so therefore they keep the system in place.
That may be part of it.
As long as your children can get through, then they don't care about the other ones.
It's not only that. Barbados has become a country where... A lot of people
in the middle class
who are qualified individuals are also looking to government to create another job for them, whether they are seeking to get on a board, whether they are trying to get a contract, whether they are just fearful of keeping the existing job that they've got. All of that takes place in this mix of emotions that cause people to remain silent.
I agree with you there. But notice as well, as I said, as long as you can afford to send your child to private school, okay, then you're not worried about what's happening to all the children in the public sector, in the public schools. This is what I'm trying to get at. So therefore, you have a responsibility to me. Right, as an intellectual, as a person, I don't mean you personally, I mean generally speaking, as a person who has been educated on the dime and on the backs of Barbadians, to then say, listen, what do I owe Barbados? Okay, it's not right.
Barbadians are not conditioned like that.
Kicking down the ladder.
Barbadians are not conditioned like that. Barbadians are conditioned to believe that they have been able to get an education all on their own, and that they owe Barbados little or nothing. That's how Barbadians are.
Politicians right now are making that the core of their message. Listen, you need to take care of yourself.
They came out of an environment where it was emphasized. So what do you expect?
I want to say one thing before I leave as well. The legacy of Errol Barrow is not the Democratic Labour Party. It is not a party. It is Barbados. It is the Constitution of Barbados. It is the idea of being a Bajan and what that means in terms of
education.
You have, for me, being a Bajan means that you care about this country. You care about the future of this country. That you share the same values.
You better check that in. Because
that's what I say is a Bajan.
I would like to hear a young Barbadian who is 20 years old tell me what is their perspective on being a Bajan. What does that really mean?
But again, it's
not in our age group.
It is our adults' responsibility
to do what?
To teach those young people that instead of us letting those young people come up and believe that everything is free or whatever, and that they have
Let's throw the question open. What does it mean to be a Bajan? Okay.
No problem.
Thank you very much.